would bless us to worship Him in spirit and truth. And as always, too, I didn't also, as we usually do, beg and interest in your prayers as we come forward. And any man that comes before you needs the prayers of God's people. Because I kind of kid around a lot of times about this mysterious switch that we have back here that we can just switch this on, and then the Lord fills us full of Spirit and we're able to preach the gospel and power demonstration of that Spirit. But you can come back after services and look. Don't do it right now. But we don't have a switch back here. It doesn't exist. And then I can also say thank God for that. Because if we had a switch back here, then we wouldn't be praying and begging and asking the Lord to bless us. And also, we wouldn't be giving Him the credit for it when He does bless us. So we still always, and any brethren who come before you, need that same prayer. And it's amazing, I will tell you too, it's amazing when God's people unite in prayer for that purpose. It's amazing when the Lord does have that outpouring of His Spirit. We have some thoughts in our mind, and we hope the Lord would bless us for a few minutes as we stand before you, that He would deliver us to proclaim those things that He's given unto us. We have been going through articles of faith, and we are still of that mind, and there's some other things that are tied into that that I hope we might be able to get to. We have gone down through these articles of faith, and of course, it always takes me forever to do anything, no matter what it is in life. I'm as slow can be. My wife knows that better than anyone on the face of the earth. But she still loves me, and I know that's by the grace of God, too. And the mercy of God. But we are looking at this original sin and what happened in the Garden of Eden. God created man, and he was good, verily good. He was perfect, and there was nothing wrong with man as God created him. So is with all his creation. Anything that God created, it was good and perfect. Nothing wrong with it. And God created this man. His name was Adam. And he set him in the garden, and there was two trees there that are mentioned. There were other trees, I believe, that were there. But there were two trees in particular that were mentioned there. There was a tree of eternal life, and there was also a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he gave man this commandment. It was pretty simple back then. We have all these laws and ordinances ever since, but back then it was very simple. You can eat of every tree in the garden. You may freely eat of it. But there's one tree you shall not eat of it, and the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Not complex, fairly simple, compared to what we have to deal with here in life since then. And the scripture says that Satan, the deceiver, the one that was more subtle than all the other things, came to the woman, did not come to the man, he came to the woman, and he deceived the woman. We're recorded later in scripture that he deceived. She was deceived. And she saw the fruit. And oftentimes sin begins with what we see, this eye. And that's why we need to be careful what we expose our eyes to. Because oftentimes it is the window by which sin enters into our mind, our thoughts, our heart. But she saw that fruit and believed it be good to eat thereof. Although that's contrary to what God said, but Satan has deceived her. She took the fruit and she did eat that fruit. And then she gave to her husband and he did eat of that fruit. Now it's important as we read the scripture, and we tried last Sunday, and I hope we're able to get over here to the fifth chapter of Romans. That's where I've turned to. I'm not in Genesis, I'm in Genesis. Because Romans 5 is in Genesis, and that's why we're over there too. But it's important for us to understand that sin did not enter into the world when Eve partook of the fruit. Now, I'm not saying what she did was not an act of disobedience, because it was. But the Scripture is going to tell us over here in Romans 5 that by one man sin entered into the world. Not by one couple did sin enter into the world. Not by one man and woman did sin enter into the world. But by one man sin entered into the world. A little bit of confusion, but that's what the Scripture says. And we're going to hold it to what God has said, because we've studied and learned that what the Scripture saith is what God has said, because the Holy Scripture is the Word of God. So we see that it was by one man. Why is that, and what's the understanding of that? It's because man came first of all, and man, Adam, represented all those that would be of his birth. All those that came forth out of Adam, Adam represented them. And so when Adam, that man, fell, all of those represented by man, and that would be Eve too, because she was taken from Adam. Great sleep came over Adam. A rib was taken out, and a woman was formed. Woman, part of her name, I kind of made fun of that a little bit, but part of her name is his name, man. Women try to escape that, seems like these days. Got the name of a man attached with their name. But from the very beginning, it's been so. And you women who can sit back and kind of use your mind, the Lord give you, you can understand your entire life. Well, I sure do get off on I know you get off on tangents. I do too. I have to spend a lot of time I hope the Lord is getting us on those tangents sometimes. Sometimes He's not, but sometimes He does. But from the very beginning, you've always had a man's name attached to your name. Before you got married, you did. And after you got married, you should have. That's the way it's always been that way. But it was the man that sinned, and sin then was brought into the world. So let's go. Before I grab those two, I think it's appropriate. I have this laid out over here for us to talk about, or just to bring it up anyway. This over here in, which I think will be appropriate every time we stand up before you. But 2 Timothy, the second chapter, Paul says here, inspiration of God, God's Word, the 15th verse of 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, primarily, Paul's writing this unto young preacher Timothy. It's not wrong for any of God's children to be obedient to this scripture here. You receive benefit and blessing if you study the word to be approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Now I can tell you, there have been times that I did not study, I did not prepare my mind, my thoughts, for coming before God's people. And I'm ashamed, and I felt that shame. You've done things that you're ashamed of, haven't you? I know a lot about you. Some of you I've never met, except to today. But I already know a lot about you because I know what God reveals about God's people. But study this to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So important that we rightly divide the word of truth. And that implies that we can wrongly divide it. And it implies that it's necessary that we divide God's word. That if you do not divide any of it, then the beliefs that you believe and the doctrines you believe, they're going to be contradicting one another. And they're going to be all over the place. They're going to be all over the place. But to rightly divide the word, truth. Now also, right, if you back up, because we always have to back up, seems like, if I'm around. In the 7th verse of that same chapter, I like this one too. These are all treasures. I feel like there's some, and you know, you can dig and find treasures in God's Word, and there's no end to the treasures. If you dig a little bit more, there'll be another one, and another one, and another one. But here in the 7th verse of that same chapter, he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. All I ask when we stand before you is that the Lord give us something. By the way, we'll give it to you for free because I got it for free. And I will freely give it to you. And I will rejoice to give it to you because I rejoice to receive it. And I rejoice to give it to you for free. But you can't make someone believe something. But you can convince them. But if a man convinces you of something, another man can come along and convince you just the opposite of that. But if we show you something and the Lord give you the understanding of it, that's the kind of belief that sticks, and that's the kind of belief that you can give God the credit for it too. So when Paul says this, which is God saying it to us, to him, writing it down, consider what I have to say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I just want you to consider what we have to say. And if the Lord give you the understanding, praise be to God. One more that ties into that, and then we're going to get back over here to Romans 5. Lord willing, Brother Johnny, Lord willing. Luke 24. When I find something, I write it down and I mark it because I want to find it again. If it meant something to me, I'll find it again. This ties in with that same thought over here in Luke 24, last chapter of Luke, 45th verse, when the Lord Himself was speaking to His brethren, to the disciples there, Luke 24:45. Then opened He, this is the Lord, this is God, manifest Lord. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Just because somebody stands up here and reads something, you know, and gives you something, you may not get it. I may not get it. But the Lord opens that unto us. Understand that? What a blessing that is. Romans 5. Let's see what it says over here about this first man. So the importance of understanding what happened in the garden, the importance of understanding that Adam fell, and when he fell, everyone that's represented by Adam, which is every person that's born into this world, every man after Adam, all right, which Adam was the representation, they all fell. And sin came upon every one of us, and not just that, but death as a result of that sin. And there's none who have escaped that, and there's none who ever will escape that sin. If the fountainhead is polluted, everything downstream will be polluted. It does not bring forth sweet and bitter. Cannot do that. But if it's been corrupted, the fountain has been corrupted, then all downstream are also corrupted. That's the fall. That's what happens at the beginning. Fifth chapter of Romans, he tells us that. So don't believe it because I just told you. But if God tells us, we should believe it. Fifth chapter of Romans, he says in the 12th verse, begin to read the 12th verse, wherefore as by one man, who was that one man? Adam, the first man. As by one man sin entered into the world, as a result of that, and death by sin. As a result of that initial sin, that original sin, death entered into the world, and death because of that. And we spent last Sunday telling you that the Lord said, in the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. And then we read, well, wait a second, Adam lived to be 930 years old. I thought you said, and Satan said, you shall not surely die. Well, who's right? Was Satan right or was God right? Because Satan said, nah, you won't die. And he lived to be 930 days. Well, what death years? That's right. A little bit more than that. That's why you got to have the Scriptures. You got to go back there and make sure the preacher's online. But he lived 930 years after that, and then he died. He did die. But God said, in the day you partake of that fruit. Well, God wasn't talking about that body dying on that day. But God was talking about a great separation, which death throughout the Scripture, it doesn't just mean us dying and being buried out in the graveyard. It means a separation from God. And the very day that He partook that fruit, He was cast out of the garden and He was separated from the presence of God and the fellowship of God. On that very day, He was cast out of that garden. And there was a death, just like God said, on that very day, He died. But not just Adam, but all of his prosperity was separated from God. Because sin, not, I gotta keep reading here. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And we're still seeing the effects of that, aren't we? There's no indication that we need to stop looking for spaces in our graveyard. As long as you've been here, Brother Johnny's been keeping up with all this. As long as you've been, we keep on having to put people out here, don't we, in this graveyard. We talk about from time to time about maybe we might need to find some more places out here. You know, you've lived long enough. There's still death in this world. Any of us hope to escape that? There's too much evidence, isn't there? There's the abundance of evidence that this is true, that God's Word is true. He says, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Until Moses came, he didn't have the law given to them on written tablets. But yet there was still a law there. There was still law. There were still commandments. And sin was still there before the law came, was written down, that God gave the law to Moses. He wrote it down there, gave it to His people in that way. But sin was still there even before that. How do we know that? Because those people died. That's how we know that. He says, nevertheless, death reigned. Reign. You know what that means? That means like a king who has power and he sits on his throne and he reigns. He's in control. Death reigned. And we see the effects of the reigning of death because it reigns. No matter if you're rich or you're poor, it reigns. Whether you live in this country or you live in some other country, death reigns. No matter what your race is, no matter what your background is, death reigns. Because sin is there. But all men. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of Him that was to come. So even in this transgression, though, we have a picture of someone else, of another one. Adam, this is the only place that we find where it says, now there are other places in Scripture where we see that men are types and shadows of Jesus Christ. Moses came and he was the deliverer of God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. He was a type and a shadow of the eternal deliverer, Jesus Christ. He was a type and shadow. Joseph, and the different things that he went through and the different things he suffered of his brother's hands and the relationship he had with his father. There's a lot of things about Joseph that he's a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. But this is the only place where it says that this one was a figure. Adam was the only one here in Scriptures that says of him that he was a figure of him that was to come. Adam represented, and it was a representation and a figure in ways that those others couldn't be. Adam, Moses came all of his people, but there's some before Moses, he couldn't be a representative of them. But Adam was the first man, and he represented all of men, all of mankind. And Adam, by the way, when he was created, he was perfect. And he was good, and he was holy. But something happened to Adam after he partook of that fruit. Sin entered into the world. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, by which is one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So by one man, sin entered into the world. But by one man came this gift. Came this gift of grace, which was this other man. Who was the second Adam? It was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what lesson here, one thing it teaches us is that it was Adam's sin that brought this upon all men. It was his action. It was his work that he did in disobedience that he brought sin upon all men. So then, like as it was one man that brought that, it was one man, Jesus Christ, who then brought this grace and this salvation that He brought. Not this one man plus a couple preachers and a church and some other help over here. No. It was one man. And over in the first chapter of Hebrews where it says, when He by Himself purged our sins. It was one man that plunged us in. That's why he's a figure. This first man is a figure of this other one man. As by one man we were plunged into sin and transgression, is by one man that we were delivered from that. And him by himself, you see. You see, to understand the depravity of man, to understand the sin and what happened there in the garden, is to better understand the grace of God, is to better understand the salvation of God, is to better understand the election of God, is to better understand these other doctrines of truth in the Scripture. When we don't understand what happened in the garden, when we go with false teachings that say, well, Adam fell, but he got bruised up. Well, Adam fell, but no, he didn't die because he lived 930 years. He got messed up. He needed to get back on the right path. He needed some nurturing. He needed God to beg him to come back. He needed God to say, here's some things to do. You can get back with me. You can get right with me. No, God said he would die in that day. And to understand that when Adam died, we all died. That when he was separated from God, we're all separated from God. When you believe a doctrine that teaches that just man, he was going to get back. He just needed enough time, enough nurturing. He needed a church. He needed some preachers. He needed some help to get back. And then you're not understanding that he died in that case. He says, one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is it the gift. For the judgment was not one to condemnation, but the free gift is to many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So by one came this death, then by one came this righteousness. And it was a free gift. Free gift. That's grace. Free, unmerited favor. We did nothing to receive the gift of God because it was a free gift. Free gift by the work of Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, so also the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as, and we're going to deal with that one in a minute. Just give us a minute. And I know I've already taken too many. I don't know why we invented these things. They're really useless. Mine's always off, by the way. Here in Georgia, I like to set mine for Alabama time. I not be able to do, and I know I worry about time a little too much.
Well, let's at least finish this right here.
He says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, condemnation, even so by the righteous one came the free gift upon all unto men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might have been. So if God came and He paid for the sins through the work of Jesus Christ, which we believe the Scriptures to teach in so many different places, why was the law there? What was the purpose of law? The purpose of law was several different things. The purpose of law was to show us that God is a holy and a righteous God, and He demands perfection. That's part of the law. And you were over in James, not too far from there. He said, if you keep the whole law and you miss one part, you're guilty of the whole thing. That's the kind of perfection that God demands. The law is also given there because we must fulfill the law perfectly and completely. It must be fulfilled, or we will not be in the presence of God one day. Wow. So when we understand that, how does it make you feel about yourself? How does it make you feel? How are you doing with that law? You got it all worked out? Have you missed any part of it? So what the law does then, it's our schoolmaster. Galatians says it's our schoolmaster and it teaches us something. What that law teaches? It teaches me that I'm an undone, broken, polluted, corrupt sinner. And I look a lot like my father Adam. I look a lot like him. I have that sinful nature in me because I have no hope of escaping it. And whether I read about it or I just look in the mirror of God's Word, I see the law shows me I'm undone, polluted, corrupt, and I'm unworthy of the least mercies of a righteous and a holy God. Now the rest of that Scripture, I'm glad there's more to those Scriptures, aren't you? The law is our schoolmaster to teach us. And it, then in the rest of it, and I know I'm not quoting it just right, I'm telling you where it's at, it's in Galatians, so you go find it. To bring us unto Christ. So when I see that I'm polluted and undone and corrupt, and I'm not trying to, then I understand. If I was dead and trespassed in sins, by the way, I have no hope of doing anything good or holy or right. Have no hope of believing God, receiving God, seeking God, because in the flesh there dwelleth no good things. We got, I know I'm going over, but just stay with us just a few more minutes. I promise. Pray hard. Psalms 14 in that 53rd chapter, it said, the Lord looked down upon all men and see who would be follow Him, see who would be good, see who would seek after Him. And He found none. None seeketh Him. No, not one. None righteous. You go to Romans, the 3rd chapter, to get more details. But now I'm not trying to make myself righteous. I'm saying, and I'm like the apostles over there when they talked to that rich young ruler, and then the Lord told him, you got to sell everything, you got to give everything up. And he said, it sounded like he had kept the law. Of course, we know he hadn't perfectly kept the law, but he thought he had. And the Lord said, well, just give everything up and then come follow me. And he went away crying. I mean, we know he's a child of God. The Lord said in another place he loved him. So we know it was. But then the disciples been listening to this, and they turned to him and they said, well, who then can be saved? Is it how? So the law, what's it teaching us? Who can be saved? And the Lord said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. What that then brings me to one. The good news is there was one who came. There was one who came and kept the law perfectly, completely, in every way. To a jot, to a tittle, completely kept that law. Not just to manifest that He was the Son of God, which is part of it. Not just to show that He wasn't just a good man, a good prophet, but He was the Son of God. He was the Christ. But also, Scripture says that in our room instead, He fulfilled the law for us.
He took our sins upon Him and He paid for our sins that we would be perfect and holy. He paid the debt. He fulfilled the law for us, brethren. So that one day we will stand before Him righteous. Now, I didn't do anything to add to that, take away from it, participate in it, other than being the object of the grace and the mercy of God.
More of the law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered to show you how great the transgression was. How great the separation was between God and His people. Oh, I'm so glad the Scripture doesn't end there. I only got 1.5 verses left right here. We're going to shut up. We're going to try hard. Shut up. But are you? I'm thankful for a change in direction, aren't you? When the Lord says, but this is not a but God, but it could have been a but God here. It would have been appropriate. But where sin abounded, and has it not abounded? Look at the abounding of sin. Look at the effect of it over all God's people and all the other people on the face of this earth. It is abounded unto death. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Much more abound did grace. As powerful as sin is, as evidenced by this corrupt people throughout time and the death that has rained upon men, as great and powerful as the rain, the power of sin, grace did much more abound. Grace is much better, stronger than that death and that sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, as sin reigneth unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.